Hi, Rebbe. You could ask me to record it. Is that okay?
Maybe I'll say something not to mention.
That's fine. Okay, sounds good.
I guess we can start. You have these passages on page 15. We've done some like this before, once or twice. Basically, these are sheets that we do in Yeshiva Shabbos morning. We obviously don't do much more than two or three pages at any time. It's a collection of different Rishonim on the Parsha. And since this week was the Akedah, and the Akedah is a very, very important Parsha, and there's a lot to be said on it. So I felt we would go through some of it about the Akedah. There are obviously a lot of Rishonim that deal with the Akedah. I think we have time only to do the Rambam. But let me, two things. First of all, this Rambam that we're doing comes from Mora Nebuchim, which he wrote. Mora Nebuchim is a sefer that, it's very mixed. In other words, there are parts there that are very complicated Aristotelian philosophy, very difficult to understand it, very difficult to work with it. There are parts there that he just explains very simple traps and certain things, and there are pieces there that are actually extremely learnable, and it has the Rambam's chashivas. The main problem usually with learning it is, in the original versions, it's just simply very run-on. It's translated from Arabic, it's very difficult. Simply the technical Hebrew is very difficult. I try to break it up a lot so we get a much easier, a little more user-friendly way to learn it. I want to frame first the question that he deals with and others deal with. It's called an Nisayon. And Nisayon means a trial. And the parasha ends with HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, Atri Yadati Kirei Elokim Ata. I now know that you are Yirei Elokim. It sounds as if something was not known before. The word Nisayon in modern Hebrew is used that way. The word Nisayon is an experiment. I'm not quite sure if the silver will react to something. I'll take silver, I'll mix it with something, and see if it reacts to that. And when the experiment is conducted, I now know whether silver reacts with X, Y, or Z. That is a very troubling idea, because to say by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he did not know, and then he knew afterwards, is problematic. We don't say that. We can't say that. So what exactly is a Nisayon? What's the point of a Nisayon? The normal way we talk about Nisayonos is like this. We have a mitzvah, to daven in the morning. It's hard to get up. It's cold. That's simply the hardships of life and the mind Nisayonos to do something. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a series of mitzvahs, gave me a mitzvah to keep Shabbos. I have problems because I'm not supposed to do this, because they have. It's a personal Nisayon. But it's not that God gave the Nisayon. God gave the mitzvah and life and my personal issues create the Nisayon. But the concept of having a Nisayon where God dumps a hardship on you is hard to understand. And also the idea as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be testing it in the sense that he wasn't sure about it, and then became sure, is something that we can't say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rishonim all talk about it. It starts from the Eben Ezra, we have the Rabban, the Rambam, the Abravanel, And I'm choosing the Rambam because there are some very, very strong points in the Rambam, and that's why I'd like to do that. So it's on page 15, sort of the middle. The title and the subtitle and the and a lot of punctuation is my work, it's my Elsa's work. It's not the way normally it's the Rambam, the Morning Book is just horribly used an unfriendly, it's just one on sentence. I tried to make it so that we can break it up a bit and sort of get some sense of it. Okay, he says, Inyan ha-nisoyim gam kein nisupik me'od. V'akod lo shavim nisupak ya-torah. The concept of nisoyim is a difficult. The word nisupik means something that is very hard to understand what it is. And it's one of the great difficulties in understanding in the Torah what a nisoyim means. He quotes six places where the Torah calls it nisoyim. He describes each one. I don't know if we'll do all of them. But let's go piece by piece as we keep the flow. So the Rambam brings down a shita that he addresses a few times and that he holds as absolutely wrong. Some people understand that God brings suffering because suffering increases tzar. Just suffering in its own right is a very good thing. I guess, I don't know what good is, but it's a useful thing, and people understand Eo that way. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave suffering, and the suffering itself is good for you. The Rambam is very strongly against it. The Rambam holds, you're not allowed to say that, because it says in Hazinu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kela Muna, the Ein Avol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, and it means every action of HaKadosh Baruch Hu fits the criteria of Mida Connect Mida, and there's no such thing as dumping hardships and punishments on a person just to increase time. So the Rambam is very against that. So we, you know, some Rishonim have learned that Nisoyon, or some people have learned that Nisoyon means just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu increases hardships, just brings a hardship on a person, a hardship in its own right is good. The Rambam is very strongly against it. Zeus Pina, this concept, Lo huskera v'toro b'losh mevuah klal. It's not mentioned anywhere. V'ein v'toro ma'sheyarev shuta zahinyan. And even if you're learning in Chant, none of the places that deal with Nisoyan would lead us to believe that. Alamokam echad ne'shishim comes only one of the six places that the word Nisoyan is mentioned in the Torah might even lead you to think about it. V'hine avar achad zahinyan, I'll explain it. Avol pina satorah, the word pina, the Rambam uses, it means a cornerstone. A pina means a corner, and it means a corner. One of the fundamentals of the Torah, hefich be'adah, is opposite this idea. Hu amro yisbaruch kele muna vein avol. The pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is faithful, he's just, asur tamim pa'olo, and he's mishpat in kele muna vein avol. V'lo kol ha'chachamim damkin roim ze'adah samoni. And the Chazal argued this. The Rambam in a different place says it's a machlok in the Gemara, and the halacha is like this, Lamyama, that nothing that happens can be ascribed to other than just. We might not see the justice, we might not know the justice, but to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu just brought suffering on somebody because it's good and so right, that's something that chas v'lahaskin. Any person who consists of a ben Torah, meaning he's down to the Torah's values, and has seichel, must believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely just. You can't attribute any type of injustice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To believe that somebody is absolutely innocent and didn't deserve what came to him, absolutely is going against the Emunah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emunah, and so on and so forth. I need not tell you that all of Sefer Eov builds around this part. Sefer Eov is a very, very difficult sefer. I don't know if the teachers in the high school they teach Eov, but the Sefer Eov builds around it. The Eov's friends tie to that, and so on, back and forth. concept of a Nisayan being something that a Kaddish Baruch just dumped on a person, that the suffering itself should be merited in any way, is wrong. Omnam, the Rambam says, Hanirah manisyonos and eskaros betorim mekom sahim, shehim karabob b'nei Nisayan v'abechina, ad sheyevoda shir emuna sabishahu v'yucholot avodoso. Some have written that the idea of Nisayon is to praise the person. Some Rishonim actually say that Nisayon is to hold up high, like Nisayon is a banner, and to show everybody how wonderful Klai Yisrael is, Avraham Avinu is, and so on and so forth. Ad shivad ashir amunis nishahu v'yicholot avodoso. V'zeh inyinu amesupik ha-gadol. He doesn't like that either, because he thinks that it's very problematic. I mean, only two people knew about it. Akash Baruch and Avraham. No one else. It wasn't publicized any other way. He brings down all the psukim of his time. So the Rambam does not feel that it is it's done in order to display chashivas of a person and so on and so forth. Some Rishonim don't say that. I mean, as a bring speech, doesn't like that either. And now the Rambam will explain a little bit. He started explaining his concept of Nisayon and so on. Zah, he says, Ki kol Nisayon sheba b'Torah, in kavanoso v'inyano, ela sheyedu b'nei adam mashetzorach l'masoso, u'mashero ala minay. U'ki'ilu inyan ha-Nisayon sheyat ma'isa echad, ein ha-kavan ha-gufa ma'isa hu, al-kavane sheyem mashal sheyum zanu v'yachachal. So the Rambam puts down his idea of what a Nisayon is. He says, there are things that you can teach through words, and there are things that you can teach through actions. And sometimes the only way you can display something is by showing an act that becomes a model for understanding something. In other words, Nisayon would mean to display something, and that's what he says. It's just like when I test something, I mean that to be extrapolated to the rest of it. If I take a piece of cloth, they always say I tested it, so if you want to wash it or whatever, test a small corner someplace and see if it fades or whatever it is. That means the purpose of it is not that small corner, the purpose of it is the rest of it. It's there to extrapolate on everything else. So there are certain activities in the Torah where the tachlis lies in itself. This in itself was the activity that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted. And there are certain activities that are meant to teach a whole array of other things by its own, through the events themselves, we learn about other things. It's a model for other things. And as we'll see later, there are sometimes things that words can't be used, and actions are the way to do it. So the Rambam says, Nisayon is that. Nisayon means, and it covers a wide range of things, an activity whose purpose is to extrapolate on something much bigger than the event itself. Let's see one as an example, and then we'll go to us. He goes through all the cases. The Rambam is very meticulous. But Amru, for instance, by Navi Sheka, it says that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is doing it, Lodas Hageshem Oavim, to see if you really have Avas Hashem, or you're going to fall for the Navi Sheka. So he says, Ein Pirusha Sheheda like Haizeh, it doesn't mean Lodas that I should know. Kaddish Baruch Hu knows. We posit that Kaddish Baruch Hu's total knowledge of things as they are. He doesn't need to run a test. Ein Pirusha Sheheda like Haizeh, It's not to make us chashuv in the eyes of the umot. It's to teach a model of what does emunah look like. How strong is emunah in Har Sinai? When somebody comes up and he says he has prophecy, he has visions, he has prophecy. Vitiro solsof hamivios lapsof emes vitvara. And he displays all sorts of signs that indicate it. Little nifin, little mosim, this, that. Do, shu inyan shu atzelik, elikailu zia v'umos, shir ha-minchem v'amitas teres v'ochesh kosa mitoso. How strong do we accept the fact that our sinai? For instance, if somebody were to come in here and display magic, he makes a table lift up. None of us would question the laws of gravity. Nobody would say, well, I've learned a lot about gravity, but this guy seems to walk in, tables lift up, chairs go all over the place. Nobody would say that. We'd say, I wonder what the trick is. The same thing, a person walks in and he says, I have a new set of munah for you. I have a new set of mitzvahs or abrogating mitzvahs or whatever it is that a Navi Sheker does. And he does all tricks and things. Well, how strong is our sense of the emes in our Sinai? Just like there's nothing in the world that would make a person doubt the laws of gravity. No matter if we attend a magic show and you see a table lift up and you know, see the ropes underneath it, the ropes on top, we just wonder what the trick is. But nobody doubts this because it's a very firm emes. The nisayon of a Navi Sheker means how strong is the sense of Har Sinai? Well, here's somebody that does also little tricks and magics and things that are supernatural, and it doesn't faze us. That's called nisayon. It's a demonstration. You can't give it in words. I mean, we say you have to very, very much believe in Har Sinai. Well, you do. But when you see somebody come in and do all sorts of magics and thousands of people swore that this person did this, this, that, you say, it can't be. It just can't be because we saw Har Sinai and that is an absolute. That is a projection of what Amuna is. So it says, he wants to display what does Amuna mean. You don't just go astray because somebody sort of talked you out of it. It means that when people turn to Amuna, they know that they're searching for the truth. And when they're looking for emes, they're looking for something that is as firm as that. They don't care about the tricks, because it's like an impossibility. If somebody's a great mathematician and I remember in algebra class, there was a cute trick where you could prove that 2 equals 1. The fallacy was, for those of you that are interested, was that somewhere along the line, you were multiplying by 0, dividing by 0, I don't remember already. But and you look at it and you say to yourself, wow, it's a neat trick, but it's a trick. 2 is not going to equal 1 ever. I'm just trying to figure out how it got that way. The Rambam says, the reason why we don't care about those mosim is if they should clear our enough. It's an impossibility. A mofes can prove a possible thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there is a possibility of prophecy. A person comes along and he's a possible prophet. So I believe that there are some people that can lift up 100 kilo. So a person comes and lifts 100 kilo, I say, oh, he's strong. He lifts 100 kilo. But nobody, in my sense of impossible, nobody can make 100 kilo rise by itself. Not even 50 kilo. Just doesn't rise. So the understanding that most ways can only help for something that is possible, not for something that's impossible. Emunah means perceiving the truth of something as being as absolute as any reality that was physically aware. We'll see more about that in the Akedah also. I want to digress this to spell up a story that I thought is one of the most powerful things I read ever. It just hammers home a certain point about this. Even though it's just quote unquote a side point around that, but it's well worth remembering, especially today when people are very involved in these things. One of the many splits in Chassidus were between two groups. It was Kutsk. Kutsk was a group. The Kutsk Rebbe was somebody who strove for pure emes, and in a way that was extremely harsh. Any time a person did a mitzvah, and he felt it was 100% right, the person would get as much tochacha as if he did an avera. And it never seemed to be good enough. He was, the better you were, the more demanding he was. And it created tremendous pressure, and at some point, one of his big time leaders broke away and he said, "You're demanding the impossible from people," and he said, "The operation is wonderful, but it kills the patient, and we can't handle it." And the Talmud's name was the Ishbitzer, the Meshulach, the Monk Yosef Liner. He broke off and formed his own Chassidus, and it was like all breakoffs. It was not easy. There was a lot of tension. The groups were split apart. I mean, it was his Talmud who broke off, but that's how it was. There were two partners. One was a Chassid Chassid, a business partner, and one was a Rezina Chassid. And they made up business as business, politics, politics. We keep the politics out of business. And we do business together. Business went very well, and things were going well. One day, business started going downhill, and it started getting worse and worse. And the Rezina Chassid became sick, and he became more ill, and he was dying. And he called in his pastor, and he said, "Listen, we've been faithful partners for so many years. I want to ask you for a favor. Not an easy one, but I need it. I'd be glad to do it." He said, "Could you go to my Vesa and ask for a bracha for me?" So he was caught between a rock and a hard place, suffix here, suffix, but at the end he said, "Listen, I'll do it for you. Not easily, but I'll do it." So the Kastor Chassid Tikkun Safat, he went to Rezina Rebbe, and he walked in and said, "I want to tell you something. My Rebbe is Kastor Rebbe. We're very upset with you, but I have a partner, and this is what he asked of me." So the Rebbe thought a few moments, and he said, "If I create a miracle, and your partner recovers, and the business recovers, will you stop your opposition to me? Will you become a Chassid of mine?" He said, "Miracles can be done through magic. They don't prove anything." He said, "And what if I prove to you that it's not Kishon, that's Emes?" So he told him, "The truth that was acquired through blood and sweat, you don't trade in for all the magic in the world, for all the tricks in the world, and all the motion in the world." And the end of the story, which I think was the story actually read, so it was written by somebody who comes from the Kutz together, he said, Rezina Rebbe told him, if you promise me that you will remain always so faithful to your Rebbe, then I'll give a bracha that to recover and the business recovers." That was the end of the story. But the point that I wanted to just emphasize was, a person, emunah means a person acquires something and understands something with such a strong sense of reality that tricks don't do anything for him. Most of them can prove the possible, like Ram said. They can't prove the impossible. It's sort of a side point to the point that they're doing, but it's just valuable in its own right. Let's skip down a few of the paragraphs where he goes to El Nisyonos. Hakeda. It's on the next page, on page 17. And here he speaks specifically about the Hakeda. We've skipped over how he addresses the other ones. Avraham Avinu's Akeda brought out, demonstrated, two great fundamentals of the Torah. The first one is, Lodia Osono Gvul Ava Taloka Yisburah for Yosai, to understand the bounds of Abbas Hashem in Yira, Ad Hechim Agas, where does it go to? V'tziva b'zeh ha'inyin, Asher lo yedam eloi lo yinusin asmam ve lo yinusin as nefesh. He told him to do something which v'chol levavcha, v'chol ma'odcha, v'chol nafshecha, don't come close to it. Avlu muslach b'kol ma'ashev sheva b'mitzvah. It's something that could not possibly, we couldn't even dream of it. We couldn't imagine a person actually accomplishing it. The who? And he fleshes out. Sheyeish Ucker. Here's a man who's childless. Mitachlis Hakosef Lele. With the greatest desire to bring out a child. Valpoisha Gadol V'Nishba, a very important person. And what he wants more than anything else is to bring out a nation from a child of his that will become the Ummah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nolad Lo Ben Achayush, after he's given up all hope, he finally had the child. unimaginable how much love he has for that child. Because of year and Ava, he overcame his love and left everything he hoped for. I want to stop and pause him and explain something that I think is not clear in the way he's saying it. Because the first thing he says is it's a type of thing that we couldn't put into words. If it didn't happen, actually, we couldn't put into words. But I want to pinpoint what he says, the Av and the year of HaKadosh Baruch Hu overcame the Av and year. It's not quite the way we imagine it. Let's take an example. Let's say I have a very, very good friend, and I really like him a lot. Fine. I have somebody else that I like even more. And I'm willing to do a lot for friends and so on. If a friend of mine would tell me, to be a friend of mine, you have to dump the other friend. It wouldn't fit well. I mean, what does this mean? I thought you said you either like me or you like Yitzchak. What does it mean, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu overcame the other year of Yitzchak? It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kind of giving him a choice. That's not the way to picture it. Let's try to give a picture for it and understand it. Let's say, God forbid, I just need to pick the case because I just need the case to bring out a point. Somebody sees, God forbid, a child of his running after somebody else to kill them. And the way to stop him is only by killing him. When he does it, if he can do it, and he does it, he's not demonstrating that he likes the other person more than his child. What he's demonstrating is the horror of wrong overweighs any feelings I might have. Murder overweighs anything else. It's not, if I have to save one of two, I will save my child. That's obvious. But when I need to say the absolute morality of murder versus a love for a child, there's no question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not playing games. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the right thing to do is, it's as right as anything we can imagine, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Halei L'Olam. So the question is, my sense of right, it says the word Ava Yiras Hashem, it's not friend versus friend. That's not Ava Yiras Hashem. Ava Yiras Hashem means, for us, it means what is absolutely right, what is absolutely emes, versus what we naturally want, what we naturally are driven to. So the Rambam is saying, what it demonstrates is that no matter how powerful human emotions and instincts are to a certain inyan, what's right should avoid that. In a many ways, I mean, with Baruch Hashem, we're very used to it. When a person makes a bris, you know, you take for a mother to see a child, you know, it's always kind of emotional. You know, a mother seeing a child, and I know I'm not very experienced, and it's not a hero. Yes, I'm not very experienced, and it almost doesn't hurt. But it's still quite traumatic for a mother to see a child. You know, an infant, a mother's so protective. And I remember we told somebody once ago, we have to rush home, there. You know, we have to go here, we're having a circumcision of a grandchild. Are you a doctor? No, but it's a great event. It's a big, you know, it's a party, a happy, I don't know what to say. And what? You know, and yes, we do it. We do it because having a bris overweighs. It's so against the real instincts of a mother to give up a baby and have him hurt and bleeding. And the answer is because what is right, Kashmir said this is right, overweighs the natural instincts. Avraham has no understanding why, but if a Gashprok said it, then it was right and it was emes, and it has to overweigh every bit of natural inclination a person has. I think that's the right translation of Av and Yira here. I mean, you can't imagine, well, it's either me or your son. Who do you pick? It's stupid. It's putting it in crass terms and in very childish terms. It's the Av and Yira Hashem is, this is the right thing. Now we add another point, which is very, it's extremely fitting for the Rambam to say this point. The Rambam says, the pasuk says it was after the third, they went for a few days, and then the third day they saw it. He says, why? What's the thing of a few days? And Avram jumped at the opportunity. It would have been like an ecstatic type of fervor without thinking. It took him a few days till he would do it. It was an act done with thinking and with pondering it. Point of when a person does something out of a momentary ecstasy, even if it's good, but it's not coming from the person's real deep understanding. There's an extraordinary verse from Avraham Grudzinski. Avraham Grudzinski was the last mashgiach of Slavonic ship in Europe. My father's friend was actually very close with him. He was killed in the war by the Nazis. And he was part of the Slobodka Muslim movement where thinking and being on top of yourself and in command of yourself was very much part of that. And he writes in his Hakdama, I think, he says, it's a very interesting thing. When we say Kriya Shema, we think, when we come to the whole Nafshecha, we always imagine we're standing on a fire, and a guy tells us to shmat, and we jump into the fire. He said, why do people picture themselves jumping into the fire and not walking into the fire? He said, because if we'd have to walk, we'd never do it. It's only by jumping that we can do it. In other words, we can sort of short-circuit our seichel, but we can't bring our seichel to do that. So we can jump into it. That's kind of, the override switch. But now, Avraham Avinu had 3 days to think about it, and he did it out of the deepest of thoughtful conviction, rather than just a momentary ecstasy. And this, by the way, was one of the Muslim movement in general, as opposed to fiery drushes that would kind of work up people and get them very heated up, there was a thoughtful process that would slowly change a person's understanding. And the Chazanish has a very fascinating letter. It came out recently in the third volume of Ikkar Chazanish. There were a group of Kanoim in Yerushalayim that asked him to participate in some demonstration about something terrible that's going on. And he writes, the heart of every God-fearing Jew is in sympathy with you. But what can I do? I've learned Torah through such a gear all my life, through such difficulty, that I've learned to weigh everything with the scales of seichel. And I just can't determine it's the right thing to do. In other words, emotions flare up, but seichel is not with me on this one. And then he says, there was nothing else that could have motivated him. He didn't do it in order because he was scared of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to him? I would say she fast, and it was more than this. I would say she fast him with the other my royal last places, so I was okay for your father. Learn the secret school of HaKadosh. He wasn't scared of an Einish, and he wasn't waiting for any schar. What schar can you give a person for this, and what onus could you give worse than this? But she bought him a komos rabbi. The Oma Malach loy ki ata yadati, ki relikim ata. Yadati means the Rambam interprets not I've known, but I've now projected that understanding to the world. When this Maisa becomes known, people will understand what your Shemaim is, how far it goes, and what it demands of a person. That everything in Torah is meant for this. Let's skim down to the next paragraph. Left two lines before the bottom. This is second. Now, so one of the two in Yonim in the Akedah was to teach us something about how a person is supposed HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzvahs tzivui. V'inyan ha-sheni, lo'diyo yisonu eich yaminu ha-nevim be'emes ma'asher ha-tavanku. Let's talk out a minute. Let's say one of us would get a vision. Let's say we'd have a dream. And the dream would tell us something as horrible as Yakeda. So we say, well, I've been stressed out like that. I really need a vacation. Now I'm trying to need a vacation. I mean, we tend to think of Nevuah as kind of a vague, mystical sense of something. So if that's the way Nevuah appears, then how could a person say, oh, it means I should make my son a shechet? It can't mean that. It's not possible. If there's any doubt, if in any way it's kind of not, if it's anything but absolutely clear in the Torah, then you should have said, it doesn't mean that. It means something else. It's like a dream. I'll reinterpret it differently. I'm seeing things. I'm hearing things. It's not emes. It can't be emes. How strong and resolute is the Nevuah to a Navi? It wasn't a dream. At the end of the day, the Nevuah came through a dream. Since prophecy comes through a dream, and a person's imagination is the vehicle that it comes through, so sometimes a Navi would say, you know what? I don't know. It's kind of, I think I saw it. I sort of imagined. I would assume it's like that. That's what it would mean. Oh, yes, Arabic Tassafi. The Rasul Adenu. So the Parash is telling us, Shekol Mashayira Hanavi Bimar Nevuah, who emes Yasa Navi. Nevuah to a Navi is as real as the person talking to him. If someone were to tell me that all the people sitting in the room is a thing of my imagination, I would not believe it, or I would say, okay, then I have no sense of reality, because this is my strongest sense of reality. And if you're telling me that all this is not true, then it's finished. A Nevuah to a Navi was as certain as a person sitting across and talking to you. Rasulah Neda Shekol Mashiach Nevuah Nevuah, who emes Yasif into a Navi. The Lo Yisupik V'Dovin as a cloud. He never, it's not a vague thing that maybe, it is clear. V'Dina is like Kidina Yonim and Soyim Kula. It's like every other bit of reality, a Musagim V'Chushim V'Seichel, that you pick up by your senses or with your mind. As real as this is the table, as real as 2 and 2 is 4, that's how real a Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks to me is. The Raya is there. The Raya is, Heskem Avrom Lishlek Lo Yechida Sha'av Kemoshe Tzuvah. Listen, this is the weak link. Avram could have said, listen, if Akash Baruch was to tell me, I would certainly do it. But I'm not sure that he told me. It can't be that that's what I heard. That would have been the weakest link, and that could have gone. The lawyer and the was fucking bachalom shel mavua. So nothing, as he doubted his mavua. Or he hired some sophic rushes to go maris and mavua. Or if he had any doubt, well, he must scheme a lot of mashim and noah teva. He would never agree to do something which nature, which a person's most basic nature doesn't allow him to do it. He never could have done it if he had the slightest doubt in whether or not Nevuah was really meaningful. And then the Rambam concludes, it's most fitting that it should happen through Avram and Yitzchak. Avram is the first one to proclaim Yichud. Avraham Avinu is the one who started teaching people about Emunah and Achdus Hashem and drawing people to it. Avraham Avinu was not only someone who attained these things, his mode was that of a teacher. His mode was somebody who his mahus was to proclaim it, to be mitzvah bonav, v'shem d'asar sakum mishpat. U'kemoy shenim shechu, acha de'oysav ha-mityay, ha-mobilos ha-nishmoyav b'menem. And just like people were drawn to what Avram said and thought and gave to understand, came tzorel shenim shechu ha-chadeyos ha-nukachos v'poloysav. That's how they have to learn from what he did. They learned from what Avram spoke, and Akedah could never be spoken. Nobody could have said a drush about Akedah. The only way that Akedah could have been taught is through doing it. But Kolshkin Dosa Pa'ula, Asher Imes Bo Pina Samizavua, and certainly when this act reinforced the fundamental of the Vua, Vod the Eino Bo Tachlis Nirus Hashem Rotei Hamakas. Tachton Tzenov Nirin Hashem. Therefore, in the same way, Loisham Likai Yisbar Goy to Livchon on Matzoy. It's not that God wants to find out as to what the person is about, as Sheida Mashal Yodhi Kodim. Cholila Tzalil Mashit Noah Sichlim, Asay Rav Shalom is out there. So basically, just summing up, the Rambam said, the first point he makes was that an Nisoyin is just undeserved suffering because that helps the person realize Chas. The Rambam is very against it. He holds that that's wrong. He holds that the vast majority of Chazal don't agree with that. There's maybe one body of it holds like that. And the Nisoyin cannot mean that a Kodesh Baruch Hu needs to find information that he didn't have before. That doesn't exist by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Nisoyin can, he says, means it's something which is there to teach through action rather than through words. Some things can only be taught when you see them. When you see a person's conviction in the face of the Navi Sheker, when you speak about Mon, we skip the part of Mon, we see a person's reliance on a Kaddish Baruch Hu, where you can wake up in the morning in the desert and know that there will be a bottle of milk for the baby, and there'll be bread for breakfast, and so on and so forth. These are things that words are hollow. And the ultimate is the Akedah. And the Akedah itself taught us two things. It taught us how far Av and Yira stretch, and we've interpreted Av and Yira is not to be understood in a childish way, like better friend, you know, do I choose him or choose him? Av and Yira means the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this is what you have to do. That's the emes. That is the absolute moral truth, and it's absolute. And a person chooses the right over any instinctive feelings that he might possibly have. That was one very profound lesson of the Akedah. And the second lesson was that Nevuah is not inspiration. It's not a kind of, you know, mystical, clouded inspiration. Nevuah for Nevi'im was absolute reality. It was communicating that Kadosh Baruch Hu in a way that left no doubt as far as this, as it being a Metzias. And that's why Avraham Avinu could do it. And he said, and Avraham Avinu, he wasn't only a tzaddik, Noach was a tzaddik. Avraham was the teacher. Avraham was the one who made his life to be Korei B'Shem Hashem, to proclaim it. That's why the greatest proclaiming of the amitios, of the truth, of everything that he stood for, were projected, were taught by, were demonstrated by the Akedah. Any question? I don't know what to say to a young man. I'm not sure who...